honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler, brought to you by this local station and its sponsors, and presented everywhere, on the air and online, by Provident Payments, one of the fastest-growing payment consultants in America. Connect today at providentpayments.com.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and another episode recorded at the National Museum of World War II Aviation in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Thanks again to Mark Schaefer of Honor Flight of Southern Colorado for introducing us to a couple more remarkable World War II veterans. When we left off, Betty Dengis had told us how she always wanted to become a nurse, how she followed those dreams and cared for wounded veterans stateside before heading overseas, only to arrive in Scotland just as Germany surrendered. By no means did that mean her work or her adventure would end.
Well, they sent us to southern England by Bath, a staging area again, and we lived in tents there. But again, we had time to travel. We went to Chitter and Stratford and Bristol and London. That was very interesting.
And I don't want to gloss over that either. You say you land there, and they tell you the war is over.
Yeah.
That had to be pretty good news, right? Was there some celebration there?
Yes, I think we did celebrate, and we were really happy that. But then we also knew what was going to happen to us, so there was that part of it, too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when they sent us to the staging area in southern England there. As I said, they always had these trips. The trips were for the enlisted men,
mm-hmm.
because they didn't want them sitting around getting into mischief, so they would arrange these trips. And most people would go on the trip. A lot of the nurses didn't go on trips, so my roommate and I began to go together and do things together. So I did get to Cardiff, Wales, and my grandmother was from Wales.
Wow.
So that was interesting. I didn't get to the place where she was from. But it was good to get into Wales to say I'd been there.
Yeah.
She was from Llanelli in Swansea. So anyway, we joined this hospital, 94th General, and they had just sent away all of their patients. They were getting ready to go to France. So right away, we got ready to go to France and went across the channel, landed in Le Havre. Took a train, stopped in London. The fun thing there was we had to go to the bathroom and we didn't have any money and you had to pay to get into the bathroom. So the enlisted men had been paid, so they had money. So they paid our way into the bathroom.
The things we take for granted.
Yes. So then we got back on the train and we went to Reims, two little towns, Mormelon-le-Petit and Mormelon-le-Grand. And we set up some tents there because that's what we were doing. All of us were around at different places. I don't know what the process was or anything, but we would take care of patients whenever we were in any place where they had patients. So we would work, and I was, it was okay. Because we kept busy, too.
And so the war is over.
Uh-huh.
But there's still a stream of patients coming in, guys evacuated, wounded?
Right.
What can you tell us about the kind of condition they were in?
Well, at that point, they had been taken pretty good care of in the front, in the MASH units,
right,
as it were. And so they would be bound up and legs were taken care of. The one man who I said died from the fat embolus, he had a fracture of his femur. He was strung up in a traction. And that's one reason he died, was fat embolus. But those kinds of things, the orthopedic things, people would be on crutches or in wheelchairs and all of that, the same, just nursing.
But did that weigh on you, knowing what they were facing? What kind of futures they're looking at?
No, I just accepted it. It was just nursing, what we did, take care of sick patients. And I would, I did wonder what happened to them. We did back at the hospital in West Virginia, we did golf with some of the guys, some of the patients and things like that. That was fun. And then we danced a lot. Of course, because I was the first lieutenant. I was second lieutenant, and then I was promoted to first lieutenant. We went to the officers' club, and I remember this one dance. The officers invited the enlisted men because they didn't get to be with to dance with the nurses and all.
Right.
And so they danced, and I remember my roommate said about that dance, she remembered we flew from arm to arm.
I would imagine that, you know, being an Army nurse around all those men, mm-hmm. many of whom, a lot of your patients probably right. hadn't seen very many females for a long time.
Yeah, right.
So you were probably pretty popular.
Yes, very. They loved the women, and we loved the men. We really enjoyed the dancing with them. That was really wonderful. So anyway, there we are in Mormolon, and we are put with this General Hospital, 227th General Hospital, and we were headed down through France to Marseille to wait for a ship to take us to the Philippines.
Ah, because the war's still going over there.
Yeah, That's the beginning of the Riviera, you know, so we would go up to the Riviera and Cannes, enjoy the sunshine and people we met. We met a lot of pilots who were from different places. One particular man I remember, they were from south of Rome in Marseillaise. They said, if you ever get down our way, why give us a call? Well, as it turned out, there was a trip to Rome, a compassionate trip you could have if you had somebody, like if I had a boyfriend, which I did, or a family member or something, you could take this trip, but nobody signed up for it. And so the chief nurse said, who would like to go to Rome? Well, who would like to go to Rome? Of course, Barbara, her name was Barbara. My roommate and I. So we were signed up to go and packed up and took off. We went to Nice.
Uh-huh.
Took a ship across to Leghorn, the Leaning Tower of Pisa and everything, saw that. Our problem there was there were no bathrooms. And we couldn't tell the men. We tried to use all kinds of words that we thought might mean bathroom. But no. What she did was go out in the field. So we found that there were no bathrooms. So we got to Rome and a hotel. We had a nice hotel there. We did a lot of sightseeing, going places and doing things. Went to the Vatican and saw lots of things at the Vatican. Their jewelry, yes, really valuable
mm-hmm.
things. And one thing that happened that was just extra special, my friend was Catholic. But we got in a big room where they were having not a mass, but just he was talking to people.
Uh-huh.
And it was really filled with people. But we somehow got along the railing at the front right there. And he came down and walked along the railing and blessed us and all of this. And she kissed his ring.
This was the Pope?
Yeah, the Pope,
Uh-huh.
So we got to see him face to face, and she got to kiss his rings, which she was so thrilled with. But I was just thrilled to meet somebody face to face. So that was really extra special. We could have been in the back of that room where we wouldn't have been close to him at all, but we were right there, so that was good. So anyway, we called these guys that had said, you know, if you get down here, why give us a call? The one guy wasn't there, but there was another one there, a couple others. He said, we're going to Athens for the weekend. Over the weekend, would you like to go with us? So they came up to Rome and put us on their plane, and off we went to Athens for the weekend. And we had a great time. Got up to the Parthenon and all of those, you know.
Well, you got a lot more than you signed up for, didn't you?
Yes, uh-huh. So anyway, we, you know, just had a little bit of, the soldiers were marching, and we got to see them in their costumes, you know,
mm-hmm.
and all of that. And so we really did quite a bit over the weekend and then went back to Rome. They flew us back to Marseillaise and then back to Rome. We were there for 2 weeks. It was a 2-week, which is, you know, a long time.
Yeah.
And we had a chance to call home, which we hadn't had a phone call anywhere for a long time, so that was nice to just be able to hear their voices. So then we went back to Martha. We went back to work, and somebody had broken into our foot lockers and stolen a bunch of our stuff. But nothing you could do about that. I had a beautiful evening gown that I have a picture of, and I really liked that evening gown, and they stole it. And I don't remember what else particularly, but too bad they knew we were gone. And
yeah.
So anyway, back to work.
How long did you stay over there?
9 months. We had another trip, a 3-day pass to Paris. So we went out to the airport and said, do you have anything going to Paris? And they said, well, that B-17 there is gone. So they put us on board, and we flew to Paris on a B-17.
Not everybody gets to do that.
Yeah. So
where'd you sit?
In the bubble. Yeah, it was raining and the weather was bad. They weren't flying back, so we had to go back on the train, which was an experience in and of itself.
Uh-huh.
You know, the trains were different. And then there was another trip that was a leave, which people didn't want to use their leaves, you know.
Right.
But we did, and it was skiing in Alpe d'Huez. We said, well, we'll go and we'll learn to ski. So we did ski, but we didn't learn much. But anyway, that was fun. Then eventually, everybody was signed up for Switzerland. So eventually, our name came up. We went through several places in Switzerland. And we, at one place, Kandersteg, we took skiing lessons from this skiing pro. And that was fun. He said, oh, we're going to learn how to go over the bumps. What do you call them?
The moguls?
The moguls, yeah.
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 Boy, so, you packed a lot into those nine months,
yes,
over there.
Oh, and we ice skated, too, because I loved ice skating.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And let me go back, because one of the first trips we, after we got to Marseille, we went was to Carcassonne and Lourdes. And, of course, Lourdes was very interesting. I've got a picture of, like, 300 guys, and Barbara and I said, Barbara and I and 300 of our friends went on this trip.
Uh-huh. And did you continue in nursing after the war?
Yes. And actually, what we thought, we were going to Germany to fight the Russians. So we were surprised then when she got orders to go to Austria and I got sent home. I was discharged. I chose not to stay. And I went back to my hospital, and I was then the supervisor of the students. And so I've stayed there for a while. Then that's when my sister and I decided we would go to college and went to Boulder. She met her husband, lived in Boulder the rest of her life. Well, she lives in Longmont now.
You've gotten to go to Washington, D.C.
Yes.
With Honor Flight. What did that experience mean to you?
Oh, it was wonderful, because I hadn't seen any of those things. And the one I really liked was the nurses one. Do you know the nurses one?
The Women in Military Service for America Memorial.
Uh-huh. And they're holding the GI.
Yeah.
And looking for the plane. We had guardians. Do you know about the system guardians?
Mm-hmm.
And she bought me a little replica of that nurses.
Oh, beautiful.
And I have it on my shelf in my room.
What did you think about when you were at the National World War II Memorial? And they have all those gold stars.
Yes. Oh, isn't that, you know, to think each one of those represents a person is astounding. Yeah.
You know, from spending time with those patients, the ones that were back here in the States, had been sent home from the war, the ones that you saw in Europe as well, is there something that you think the rest of us should know about them, the kind of people they were, what they represent?
Yes, I had a psychiatric ward of 100 men there in Marseille. A lot of them, in fact, I think our ward officer said this, if they had never gone to war, if they had just stayed home on the farm, they would never have had any problems. You know, they would have just lived a normal life with no problems.
Mm-hmm.
But with the war disrupting their life and coming into all of this, they had psychiatric problems.
And that still happens today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there were challenges that you faced, but it kind of sounds like your experience in the Army Nurses Corps in World War II was a life-changing adventure for you.
Oh, yes.
Is there something that you would say you're most proud of, you're most thankful for?
Well, the opportunity. I guess I'd say the opportunity to do that, to take care of those men, and to have the opportunity to see the places that we were able to go to and see.
And is there anything you think those of us who didn't live through that time in our history,
yeah,
is there something we need to understand about what America was like then?
What do we say now? Peace? We want peace. I think about the wars that we're having now, just really, why do we have to have this and kill these people and these young people again, young people? Couldn't we somehow learn to live together in harmony?
What keeps you going at age 98?
Oh, friends, family. I have two other friends. We've been writing these books for 30 years, care plan books for nurses, and they've been very successful. That's been real something I'm proud of, because I had the opportunity to put words in the books that are, you know, words mean something.
Yeah.
And you can say, like, I'll give you the example. We say, well, how did that make you feel? You know, no, it didn't make you feel. You felt that way. Yeah, see, and it's just those kinds of, in fact, they're therapeutic words in psych. But then the other thing I got into was parenting, because I decided I'm tired of taking care of people who were sick. I wanted to do preventive work. And I found this program, PET, it's called. It's a wonderful program about parenting. And it says the words we use, we have to be careful. You know, how do you talk to your children? And actually, those are the same kind of words that were in the therapeutic ones in psych. And I taught then at Bethel College, Bethel School, and I taught med-surg and psych.
Maybe there's some people listening right now who are nurses now or who want to be nurses when they're older. What's your number one piece of advice for being a good nurse?
Find a good school. You have to learn to appreciate people, to recognize that they are people, and they're there really to learn about how to interact with them in a positive way.
And what do you enjoy about coming out here to the National Museum of World War II Aviation?
Oh, listening to these people. And a lot of them have been nurses that come by and talk to me, and they're so excited. And it's so thrilling to be able to talk with them, and they ask me questions like you did. Just interesting. I can share some of the things with them that I learned.
I'm not trying to put a thought in your head if you don't agree with this, just an idea. Have you ever thought about the possibility that women like you and your sister, two of the 300,000 American women who put a uniform on in World War II, blazed a trail for others to follow, that you helped create opportunities for women today?
Yes, because I've been told that. Somebody just told me here when I was sitting there. Thank you for setting the groundwork for us to be there. And you know, as I said earlier, we just thought we were doing, you know, what we had been trained to do at that point in time, and we didn't think we were doing anything special. Right. And now it's, you know, it's really nice.
And you just told me not to ask, how does that make you feel?
Yeah.
But how do you feel about that when people say,
yeah,
thank you for helping create opportunities for me?
I'm proud and excited because that we did. That's absolutely true.
Well, thank you very much, Betty. Thank you for serving our country, and thank you for sharing your story.
Great.
That is Betty Dengis, 98 years old, of Colorado Springs, Colorado. Maybe she'll be there waiting for you when you visit the National Museum of World War II Aviation. Don't forget to find photos of Betty and of that impressive museum online at hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes page on Facebook. I'm Paul Leffler, hoping you'll join us again next time when we're reminded once more through the stories of our veterans that freedom is not free.
To let Paul know about a veteran in your life, visit hometownheroesradio.com and click on Suggest a Veteran. Today's program has been brought to you by Provident Payments. Give your business the edge only their personalized service can deliver at providentpayments.com.